We greet you this morning in the name of Jesus. We have a beautiful Lord's Day. I trust we think of that. When I got up early this morning, I looked at the thermometer. It was still about 78 degrees. I was surprised it was that warm when we got up. But it seems to me the air feels fresher today, and I trust that it will help us to have a good Lord's Day. This morning, before I go into the message, I want to read a song that has been in my mind for, several months. And this song, I'm not sure, some of you older ones might know it. I'm not going to try to sing it this morning, but it's from the old church hymnal, the book that they used in Pigeon, Michigan, when I was from the time of a year and a half to 10 years old. And there's a lot of old songs in there that come back to me, and this one especially I thought would fit into our message this morning. And I wish we could sing it, but this church hymnal was copyrighted in 1927. It's one of our older hymnals, and I don't suppose many of you have it. Great God, indulge my humble claim. Thou art my hope, my joy, my rest. The glories that compose thy name stand all engaged to make me blessed. Thou great and good, thou just and wise, thou art my Father and my God, and I am thine by sacred ties, thy son, thy servant, bought with blood. With ready feet I love to appear among thy saints and seek thy face. Oft have I seen thy glory there, and felt the power of sovereign grace. I'll lift my hands, I'll raise my voice, while I have breath to pray or praise. This work shall make my heart rejoice throughout the remnant of my days. I felt that was a good song for the message that we have this morning. I'll have to say, I guess, that my memory isn't as good, and I seem like I have to work harder in preparing a message than I used to. But I'd hope and pray, and I want to thank you this morning for, I know you've been praying in my behalf, and I want to thank you for that. If I make mistakes, I ask your forgiveness and prayer. I want to turn to Romans, the 12th chapter. I know this is a very familiar chapter, and the Apostle Paul's teaching about the way we need to work together, the way we need to worship, and the heading says, holiness enjoined, sundry practices and duties recommended. We need each other as we gather together. I appreciate the privilege we have to come together as a body of believers. My wife and I spend a lot of time alone at home, and we appreciate this privilege we have to worship together. I'm going to start verse by verse here. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. As I looked at this chapter, and it was partly prompted by several pages in our Beside the Still Waters, written by a man who I believe has went through some church struggles. I'm in no position to say who would have been to blame for what. That's beside the point. What impresses me is the way he's come through it. I've always taken the position, if for some reason I would be asked to give up my ministry, that I would try to do it without being bitter about it. Now, most of you know that that is contrary to human nature, to not be bitter when we may be offended. But I've known, especially one situation. I remember there was a bishop, a prominent bishop in the fellowship circles in the earlier days of the fellowship movement. They almost all, whenever they had a subject on the home, they almost always asked him to have it. And he was good. He was good at it. But as time went on, it seemed like one after the other of his ministers moved away, and they had a committee, and then they, I guess, relieved him of his bishop responsibilities. And I always appreciated the man. I thought a lot of him. But one time I was in a home where he was, and he told his life story, which was really interesting until he come to that part. And then he was very bitter. I was really disappointed. And I vowed at that time, if I'm ever for any reason, and I know that none of us are perfect, we make mistakes, and if I'm for any reason I would be relieved of my ministry, I would make up my mind I'm not going to be bitter about it. Now that I know that takes effort, but the thing of it is, our relationship with the Lord and with His church needs to be more valuable than our feelings. And that's, we've all got feelings, I know. But at the same time, we have to look at the work that we are involved in. It's not our work. It's the work of God, and He has asked us to be a part of it. Now, I was impressed about the writer of this, and I don't know how much I should say about some of these things, but what it amounted to, it seemed like he and his co-minister were not agreeing, and a committee asked them to step back. And he could have left and he could have been bitter. But since that time, he's been writing devotionals almost every month in this paper. And I really appreciate his devotion, meditation. I think it's a means of helping that he would not be bitter. He was, I feel almost like he's probably having more influence in the course that he's taking than he would have if he would have insisted on being accepted the way he was ordained. Now, I'm not going to say much more about that. Now, he says, I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It is nothing unreasonable for us to be asked to be in the work of the church, to whether it's physical labor, whether it's head knowledge labor, or what? We need to remember that the Apostle Paul went through a lot of struggles himself in being accepted. But he stuck to what he believed when it was where it was scriptural. And we know a good share of the epistles were written by him. Verse 2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." Now, when we were born again, and the Bible says ye must be born again if you want to be a child of God. Nicodemus could not understand what Jesus was saying when he said ye must be born again. But we believe scripturally, we have, when we confess our sins, we accept him as our Savior. That's what we talk about when being born again. And if we're born again, we're not living the old life. We're not being offended by every little thing that comes against us. We are not striving to be the uppermost and the most important in the brotherhood. We are simply, every one of us have a place in the brotherhood to fulfill. Whether it's the bishop or whether it's the young people, there is always work to be done in the congregation of the righteous. And as we work together, those things will be accomplished. And it will, as we work together, it will help to alleviate sometimes the feelings of being not accepted as we feel that we should be. We are ambassadors for Christ. We're not ambassadors for our own agenda. We're ambassadors for Christ, and we need to work for that. "For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according to God, as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." Now all of us, in a sense, have a measure of faith. To some of us, scriptural truth in reality, some can apply it better than others. That's why we need a brotherhood. That's why we need Christian families. Families of any size at all, if they're going to make a success in their day-to-day life, they can't always be Everyone can't always be in the front. Everyone can't always be the boss. There needs to be a working and a blending together. In the same way in the church, we find blessing, we find comfort if we can accept each other as fellow Christians, just as valuable as we are. There's none of us indispensable, therefore, we need to keep in mind the goal that is before us of fulfilling the helping to build each other up, encouraging each other when we are somewhat down, don't know which way to go. Verse 4, "For we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and every one members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith." Now, I trust all of us have faith. some of us may have more faith, some of us may be able to grasp spiritual truth more than others. And with that we need to recognize that we all have room to be taught in the Word. We have all have room to be encouraged, to be open with each other, and to stand together, remembering that our work is not just for our own selves. It's true, we are serving the Lord because He has redeemed us. We believe that when we accept Him, that He has redeemed us, and He will be with us until the day we die if we are true and faithful to Him. But it's a privilege for us to be a part of the family of God, and we need to be conscious that we need to grow. There's room to grow. As long as we are in this body, there's room to grow in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now he says, having these gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Some of us have more of a gift to be a teacher than others. And it's a blessing. What would we do if we wouldn't have some teachers that take their responsibilities seriously? I know it takes a lot of effort. My wife taught school for 1 year. She had 30 students in all 8 grades, and she said, never again. Well, I guess I didn't blame her, really, but at the same time, at that time, we were just a small church, and we did what we could. I don't think she was ever necessarily sorry that she did it, but she just felt it was a bigger job than she could do. All right, on he that exhorteth, on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Be kindly affectioned one to another, with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. That is, I believe, a Christian grace that we appreciate it when we are treated with respect and recognize when we do something which we feel is good, we appreciate it if it's recognized. But at the same time, we have to do that with our fellow men too. We have gifts differing from some of the others. We have gifts for one thing or another. And it's good if we encourage each other in the gifts that we have. We know that our circumstances, our material circumstances, our family circumstances, our church circumstances have a bearing on how we respond to others around us. And how we respond has a great deal to do. As I talked about these two ministers, they could have thrown up their hands and went as far away from that community as they could. As far as I know, neither one of them are preaching. I think they've ordained another minister, but I think they're still doing what they can. That's a good example. I've known the one man more or less ever since we lived in Oregon, but I don't know him real well. Now, verse 11 says, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. Now that's, I think we had a wonderful opportunity to show hospitality last night. We had a real good visit before we went to bed last night. We learned to know people from other places. That's one of the things that I appreciate about our Mennonite heritage, that we don't just close up and not associate with other groups around us, but we know a lot of people. I've said already that I thought I knew a lot of people, but when I got married a second time, a whole new world of names opened up there. And I appreciate that, but that's beside my mess. That shouldn't be included in my message. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Be of one mind. Be of the same mind, one toward another. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in your own conceits. Now that there is speaking about controlling our, what would you call it? Controlling our attitude toward others. Not to be, even though we strive to be wise, even though we strive to understand our fellow men, we need to guard against being superior or feeling ourselves superior, looking down on one another. The Christian life is intended that we basically are respectful people. Not even just, not just to our own people, but to our neighbors and so forth. We cannot always think of just our own advantage. One time I was fixing a fence line with my neighbor, and I don't know how we got on the subject, but we got on talking about church relationships, and finally I said, well, there's one thing we're going to have to do. What are we going to do with Jesus? He responded, well, worship him, I guess. And it didn't sound very worshipful the way he said it, but that was his recognition. And I trust that our relationship to our neighbors, to one another, to whoever it might be, might reveal the Christ-like spirit that will be a means of convincing those who are on the fence that Christianity is real, it's a blessing, if we don't have Christianity, we don't have any hope. And that is something that I've had to face as a very young man. How can I have hope? How do I know that my sins are forgiven? But I'm thankful for a mother that helped me through that period. D. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place to unto wrath, for it is written, Vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him, and if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head. Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. Now the next chapter deals with being in subjection to magistrates. Love containeth the whole law. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. Whosoever therefore resisteth the proud, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is a minister of God to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is a minister of God, a revenger, to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. I know that we don't want to purposely transgress a law. I trust that all of us know that that would be a blight not only upon us but on the church if we openly and willingly transgress the law. But at the same time, if for some reason we do unwittingly do it, it makes a lot of difference how we respond when the law catches up with us. We need to always, even if we're in the wrong, we need to be respectful to the people of the law that are over us. And I believe that needs to be exercised first of all in the church. We need to be respectful to those who are responsible to maintain a church that is not only just keeping the rules, but is also reaching out to those around us to, as a means, as a way of helping them to see that all of us are accountable to a God in heaven. I don't know if our neighbors think about that or not, but our lives need to be such that they know that we're living a life that we are because we respect the God of heaven, the God who created heaven and earth, the God who created man, the God who brings into being generation after generation. And with that, if we are conscious of that, it will be easier. If we're conscious of our responsibility to the God of heaven, to the church that is promoting a testimony, a living testimony in our community, if we're promoting that, it's going to make a difference on how they look on us too. I know that there are people who would scoff and, oh, that's just what you think. But I trust that you and I all know and remember that we cannot have peace unless we give God His rightful place in our lives. It's important for our physical well-being, our mental well-being, it's important that we have know what it means to have peace with God and our fellow men. None of us like to see a church division or church split. I've went through one church split, and I hoped I never would have to again. But those circumstances are hard on our children when we face those things. We need to, and I'm not saying this because I'm worrying that we're facing a church split. No, don't get me wrong. But at the same time, we need to be living with an appreciation for the church. We need to be living with an appreciation of what we have to do to be a part of the church. That first of all, we need to be born again, and then we need to be living in daily communion with God. We need to be living in peace with our fellow brethren and sisters. And we need to be willing to be open to criticism, instruction, or correction. I don't think any of us are so high and holy that we never have room for correction, because we're still human. We still have this flesh in our body. But we are living for a day when the Lord returns and takes us home to glory, that we will not have to contend with these fleshly bodies. And it's almost more than I can comprehend. But the Scripture teaches that when we get into that glory world, we're going to be as the angels. There will be neither male nor female, but we'll be as the angel of God. And I realize that we have to accept that by faith. We believe that there have been people on their deathbeds that have been able to see over into that place. There's been not everyone sees that, but I know my mother. The day before she died, she claimed that she heard people singing, and we asked her, why, they're right outside the window. Don't you see them darkies out there? They're singing. They're singing beautifully. Well, I'm not going to say that she didn't hear that, because I do believe that the glories of heaven are far beyond our comprehension. But the horrors of hell are probably worse, the other extreme, beyond our comprehension. And we believe the Bible teaches us that we've been born into this world for a purpose, to magnify our great God in heaven, to live the way Jesus taught us to live, and to give Him His rightful place as our Lord and Master in our lives. We need a Lord and Master. I do, whether you think you do or not. I need a Lord and Master in my life. And I trust that my relationship with my companion, with you as a brother and sister, and wherever we go, might be a means of not only keeping ourselves pure in the love of God, but might be a means of encouraging and strengthening those around us, especially our young people, but also our old people too. I know that when old people are afflicted on their beds of affliction, they get discouraged, and they need to be encouraged. I had an aunt that lived till she was 94 years old, a great aunt. She lived till she was 94 years old. She called for our Bishop Roy Headings one evening. I'm not sure if she was in the hospital at that time or not, but she somehow didn't have the assurance of her salvation that the way she wanted to have. And he encouraged her and helped her to find that comfort. I could ramble on and on, but I trust that the little of I've said this morning might, in my humble, my awkward way of saying it, might be a means of drawing us closer together unto the Lord. May we bow before the Lord in prayer.